Welcome to the Board Games with Scott podcast. This is just the audio from the Board Games with Scott videos. See the full videos, head over to www.boardgameswithscott.com.
Hi there. Welcome to Board Games with Scott, a little video blog where I'm going to talk about a board game every week, review it, explain the mechanics, give you an idea of something that you might want to buy. This week, I'm going to be talking about Vegas Showdown. Vegas Showdown was produced by Avalon Hill. It's for 3 to 5 players. And the box says it runs 75 minutes, and I'd say that's about right. Why don't we look inside the box and see what's there? So, what comes with the game? Well, I'll talk through the components first, and then we'll give you an idea of how the mechanics work. So first, you've got some poker chips here. These are fairly cheap poker chips, but certainly function for the game. You've got a primary board here. And then each player has one of these paper boards. One of the complaints I've got about the paper boards is they're very flimsy. They might fall victim to the old belly rub, where those of us with large tummies lean over on the table and then the board gets creased along the edge of the table. So that's a complaint I have of the game. You've got some cards which you use for special effects. You've got a nice reference sheet, a few of these, not enough for every player to have one, but everyone can at least see one throughout the game. A fairly hefty turn order button that you pass, which also tells you what it is you're doing each turn. And some nice little bits, little wood bits shaped like dollar signs and people and stars. So, let's talk a little bit about how these things all work together. So, this is the primary board for the game. This is where you're going to be doing all of your bidding, and you're going to spend most of your time actually working with this board. Now, as you notice, what this board shows is that there are 7 different things available for bid at any one time. And below each item is a track that shows you the amount that people can bid on. There are going to be 3 stable items, which are always there, the slotch, the lounge, and the restaurant. And their starting prices are indicated in yellow. In a 3-player or 4-player game, you have 1 slots available each turn. In a 5-player game, you have 2, which is why there's a second track on either sides of the slots. And these refill every time they're used. They're fairly big stacks of these 3 stable items. And then there are specialty items. And each turn, these items come up for bid. And so what you'll do in a turn is, as you notice, there's little red dots. The red dots mark the starting prices for these items. The table games are starting at 18, and the nightclub starts at 42. What will happen is each turn of the game, if these things are not purchased, the starting price will go down. And it will go down on just the bottom track, like so. So what will happen, these things that come out fairly expensive, like the nightclub for $42, that's a lot of money. But it will drop as people don't bid on it and don't bid on it. And then finally, some will decide it's a good deal and will go ahead and bid on it. Let me actually talk about the bidding in this game. This is going to function like some other games that you've seen before, and I'll show you how it works. Let's say, for example, that Blue is interested in the table games and its new lower price of 12. So Blue can put his token on the 12, indicating that's what Blue is willing to bid. Let's say it's Red's turn, and Red might say, well, I'm going to go up here for a lounge, and I'm going to bid 9 on that lounge. And then if the next player, for example, is Yellow, Yellow can decide that they want to raise the bid here on Blue and go up to 15. Now, Blue does not immediately get to fix their bid, but when it comes around to the Blue player's turn again, then they'll be able to fix their bid. The Green player might say, you know, I want in on that action as well, so I come in at 18. The Green player could actually come in at a higher value. You aren't limited to stepping up one step at a time. Then it's the Blue player's turn again. The Blue player could pick up and go to 21 or 25 for the table games. They might go over here on the nightclub, or they might jump up and challenge Red for the lounge, bidding 12. And then this will continue. The Red player might say bad words and jump in at 21. The Yellow player says, well, fine, I'll just go get a restaurant. And the Green player says, well, fine, I'll just go get a nightclub. And then at that point, the bidding stops because everyone is on a different item. Everyone pays the amount of their bid and gets the item for their own little casino. So each player has their board, and as they buy items, they'll place them onto their own board, as you see here. There are some things that you should be aware of when you're placing items, and that's the different things you're going to score in the game. One of your goals is to fill up your casino section and to fill up your hotel section. In order to fill it, the casino will have to use yellow tiles, which are casino tiles, or the green neutral tiles. And to fill up the blue side, you have to use the blue tiles, which are the hotel tiles, or the green tiles as well, and you get bonus points for each of those. If by the end of the game you can make a connection from the casino to the hotel entrance, you get some bonus points. You'll get some points for having money and for having population. If you notice, these different cards have numbers on them. The buffet, for example, provides 3 population and 1 money each turn. When you go for income, though, you're only going to get the lower of your population and your money. So you have to be balanced. You have to collect both. You're going to get some points for leftover money at the end of the game. And the other thing you're trying to do is to connect up these little red triangles. One of the goals of the game is you get bonus points if you make sets of 3 or 4. Right now I have a set of 4 of these little triangles into a diamond. That's only going to happen through these more expensive buildings, but it's a way to get some victory points. All of these victory points are listed at the top of this reference card. The other thing that this reference card shows you is that sometimes there are prerequisites for buildings. So for example, before you can have a fancy slots, you have to have a regular slots tile on your board. So this little tile shows you when you can upgrade things. When you buy something, you don't have to play it immediately. You can purchase it and put it to the side, and then bring it onto your board later on in the game. Two other choices that you have on the main board, if you don't want to bid on a building, is to renovate or to go for publicity. If you go for publicity, you put your bidding marker on publicity and you get 1 fame point, and that's the goal of the game, is the fame points. That's what all those victory points are that I talked about earlier. The other option you have is to renovate. And if you renovate, that means you get to remove up to 2 tiles from your board and then place up to 2 tiles on your board. So if you've bought some tiles earlier that you didn't place and you want to bring them in later on, you can take a renovate action instead of bidding on something new and improve your layout. The other thing that comes into play are these special cards. The special cards are used whenever one of the special buildings have been bought. On the next turn, after a special building has been bought, you draw one of these cards. The cards will have some sort of impact on the game. This one, for example, prohibits anyone from bidding on lounges or fancy lounges. And it also tells you which of the special types of buildings to bring out. Notice in the middle there's a circle with a long yellow block in it. And that indicates you're going to bring out one of the 2 square longer buildings this time. Different cards have different types of buildings, and whenever you're required to bring out a type of building, special building, that you don't have available, that ends the game. So, the basic flow of the game is you drop prices, you flip new tiles if you need them, which is going to require those special cards, you collect your income, which is the lower of your people or your dollars, then you will choose your bidding actions, and that's where most of the game occurs. You spend most of the time bidding and raising bids, or dropping out the bids and going to renovating or publicity. And then you adjust your fame and your population and you pass the turn order. And that continues until you run out of 1 type of the special tiles. So the game continues to repeat itself. It does feel a bit repetitive because you're basically, you don't spend a lot of time in the placement of tiles. You're spending most of your time on the bidding side of the board, acting again and again. And so this is where more experienced players who played this type of, use this type of bidding system in some
sort of like, what are my thoughts about Vegas Showdown? Well, for people who aren't experienced gamers, it's a good introduction to some of these bidding mechanics. I rated an A- for that group. People that are more experienced with gaming, they'll probably find it a bit boring, a bit tedious. It's got elements you've seen in other games without other interesting aspects. So, for experienced gamers only, probably about a B-. But it would be a game that experienced gamers and people new to the hobby could enjoy together. So, if that fits your group, then you might want to give Vegas Showdown a try. Thanks for playing Board Games with Scott. If you want to see more information and see more of my video vlogs, you can go to BoardGamesWithScott.com. Take care. Bye-bye.
If that fits your group, then you might want to give Vegas Showdown a try. Thanks for playing Board Games with Scott. If you want to see more information and see more of my video vlogs, you can go to BoardGamesWithScott.com. Take care. Bye-bye.
Board Games with Scott is under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike license. Scott can be reached at scott@scottnicholson.com.